Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Pei Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's shiur at the bottom line of Pei Dalet Omid Beis, where we have a topic introduction as well as a structural note. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic that will keep us occupied until Pei Hei Omid Beis at the top. Haim Odom Oiser Al Chavero Derech Avir. When you have two domains that have access to a common point, but the common point that they have access to is Derech Avir. In other words, it's through the air. Throwing something or drawing something from a common point that the two domains on either side don't have a door that opens up into it. Maximum, they have a window through which they might throw an object or draw from that common point to where they are located. So on the one hand, we have two domains that have access to one common point, which is grounds for requiring some kind of tikkun in the form of an eruv, and otherwise there should be prohibition. On the other hand, it's not easy access as would be through a doorway. We will take a look at picture 51 in the Pirush Chai on page top of page 176. You'll notice there are two houses and a type of alleyway between the two. The alleyway is not a place of common access, though, as one might discover in the Rashi. However, there is a pit between the two houses, and the question is, can the houses draw from the pit by casting a pail out through their windows and drawing water from that pit? On the side of our Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, you can see we have a house form. These houses are Shnei Deois Be'ezet Tikun Boi Lebor Bein Shnei Chatzeres Kedei Lahatir Tashmisho. What type of tikun is necessary with regard to this situation of the pit between two courtyards or two houses? Structurally, we're going to see two approaches taken by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda quotes, on the one hand, Shmuel, and later he presents his own idea. These two ideas require some form of tikkun, some form of some gesture, if you will, a structural gesture, to indicate that this is a common domain, and therefore we have to make some type of innovation in order to allow the use. On the other hand, we will see Shitas Rav that says Ein Odom Oser Al Chavero Derech Avir. That's another opinion that we'll be exposed to later, that says one does not impose a restriction on his friend, on his neighbor, if their entire access to that particular common point is through the air. Now, let us turn to the Gemara. The bottom line of Pei Dalet Amud Beis, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Bor, we're at the top of Pei Hei Amud Beis, Pei Hei Amud Aleph, Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. As we pointed out, illustration 51, a pit that is found between two courtyards, Mufleges Mikoisel Ze Arbo'o, or Mikoisel Ze Arbo'o. and there's a lateral gap between the courtyards and the edge of the pit of 4 tefachim. In other words, if it's within 4 tefachim, then that would be another issue. That would be considered easy access. What we've seen the term before, the shilshul, lowering simply into the pit. But once you have a gap of 4 or more tefachim, that creates this phenomenon of derech avir. Continuing in the Gemara, the two courtyards, we say ze moitzi ziz kol shehu memale, ze moitzi ziz kol shehu memale. Each courtyard is expected to extend from the window that, these are of course enclosed courtyards that are bordering on this little alley, so each courtyard is expected to extend a ziz, a type of pole or a beam extending from their windows as the tikkun, the innovation necessary to create the tikkun here. Rav Yehuda Didei Omar, Rav Yehuda on his own says afilu kanya, even a lesser form of tikkun, a lesser innovation, something like a reed, a kanya, a reed. Omar le Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Ho de Rav Yehuda. This comment of Rav Yehuda that suggests or that states that you need a tikkun kol shehu, that you need some innovation, as minor as it may be, but some innovation, the Shmuel he, that is a teaching that Rav Yehuda must have received from Shmuel. Now Rashi points out that from Abaye's standpoint, he was not familiar with the original quoting of Rav Yehuda of Shmuel that we saw at the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis. So he thought, Abaye on his own thought, that Rav Yehuda's comment was stated in a type of stated on his own, having received a tradition from one of his rabbeim. Now historically, Rav Yehuda started his learning career, or learned earlier, by Rav, and when Rav passed away, he went over to learn from Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda is an individual that has traditions from both Rav and Shmuel. Now Rav Yosef, Rav Abaye, who was several generations later, upon hearing this comment of Rav Yehuda that a reed is, however, necessary, Abaye concluded that this must be a tradition he received from Shmuel. De'i de'Rav, because if it were to be from Rav, ho Omar, Rav is on record as holding ein odom oiser al chavero derech avir, that one cannot impose any restriction on his friend, in this case the two chatzeros, one on the other, if their access is through the air, through derech, we call derech avir. According to Rav, even a reed would not be necessary because there's no grounds for any restriction in the first place. Before we go further in the Gemara, we just encountered a new marking, so let us take a look at the side of the Gemara where we have our Mivne heading, under which we've featured this bow tie shape, and the bow tie highlights a machloikes Rav Ushmuel, and we note, and this continues until the Mishnah on Omid Beis, im odom oyser al chavero derech avir, does one impose any restriction on his friend if the point of if the access is simply through the air as opposed to through a doorway? Rav eino oser, Shmuel oser. Rav holds that one does not impose any restriction if the point of access is derech avir, and Shmuel says that there is a restriction unless some tikkun is done, unless some type of innovation is added to allow the situation. We will then see very shortly diamonds, and these diamonds hecho omru es daitom. after having presented Rav and Shmuel, we're going to be investigating where did they say what they did. We're going to try to find where they originally indicated that this is their opinion. In other words, it is not so that Rav and Shmuel came out with formal announcements that Eino Osir or Osir Derech Avir, but rather through halachas that they taught, we will come to such conclusions. So we want to know what halachas did they teach that lead us to this recognition. So the Gemara. After Abaye points out to Rav Yosef that Rav Yehuda's kanyo requirement is based on Shmuel, it could not have been based on a comment of, it couldn't have been based on Rav, because Rav says, Ein Odom Osera Chavero Derech Avir. So after having heard that, the Gemara now asks where the diamond appears, Ude Shmuel Hecha. What statement of Shmuel was made leading to Abaye's conclusion? Again, as we said before, Abaye was not familiar with Rav Yehuda having quoted Shmuel on this matter, as we saw in our text. So where did Shmuel say such a thing that would lead us to believe Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir? I Leimo Mehod Yomer Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel. If you're going to think it's based on that which we learned back on Pei Dalet Amid Beis, namely in our previous shiur, where Shmuel's comment had been Gag HaSomach L'Shus HaRabim Tzoruch Sulam Kavua Lahatiro, this was something that we saw, and by way of illustrations, on page 174 of the Pirush Chai, illustration 44. So if you're going to think that it's based on that particular teaching, the case of the Gag HaSomach L'Shus HaRabim, where the understanding was that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, even though they don't have normal access to the Gag in that case, but they could have access by throwing something up to it. That would be an example of Derech Avir. So Dilma Kidarav Popa. Maybe the explanation of that case wasn't because the Bnei Rishus HaRabim have access Derech Avir that required the Sulam to detach the Bnei Rishus HaRabim from the Aliyah. Maybe the explanation is, as we learned back on Pei Dalam and Beis Kidrav Papa, that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim were actually using the Gag for placing their hats and their turbans. So it wasn't a case of Shimush Derech Avir, which would be a lesser type of access, but rather it was a more direct access, and as was the case of their placing their Kumsa and Sutra on the roof. As Rashi says in Dibur Masl Dilma Kidurav Popo, Shetashmish Gomor Hulahen, it was a full-fledged use of the roof. And that's why the Bnei Rishus HaRabim imposed a restriction that needed a tikkun of the sulam, of the ladder. Elo, we continue in the Gemara, Elo Meha. Rather, it's from the following. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, Rashi points out that what we're about to say is it represents a change in the way we had explained the Gemara earlier. In other words, there's a change in direction here. And up till now, we had suggested that Abaye was not familiar with Rav Yehuda having quoted Shmuel. Here, though, we're changing that pshat based on Rashi and Dibur Masl Elo Meha. Da Abaye, Rashi says, Da Abaye Shoma Lid Rav Yehuda Al Milsei De Shmuel. Rav Yehuda did hear Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel regarding the boar between the two chatzeros and each one being moitzi aziz kol shehu. V'hochi ko'omar Abaye. And thusly, Abaye says, and we're continuing in the Rashi, ha deboi Rav Yehuda kanya, that which Rav Yehuda requires a kanya, that he himself requires a reed, Mishmuel Gomalo, he got that idea from Shmuel, the boy Tikkun. Shmuel having required a Tikkun, an innovation, in the his case it was a Ziz. The Osla Shmilin, the Shmuel Rabbe, Lav Ziz Dafka Omar. Rav Yehuda, in saying a Kanya, was simply elucidating his Rebbe Shmuel in saying that that which Shmuel said Ziz is not specifically a Ziz, a beam, Ela. The cave of the Loboy Z is Dalid, since Shmuel never required a four tefach beam, the Ha Z is Kol Shehu Omar. The original language was a beam, whatever size it may be. So Yolif Rabbi Yehuda Minei Duadin Lekanya. Rabbi Yehuda concluded that since the original beam had no real dimension attached to it, it could have been a toothpick for all we know. So Rabbi Yehuda simply said kanyo as an elucidation, not as a separate idea, separate dea, but rather an elucidation of what Shmuel said when he originally said that you need to extend a ziz. Rav Yehuda came to interpret that as meaning, oh, a ziz, that could be even through a reed that's extended. We now will read that in the Gemara. Elo, we're at the underlined bay, where bays is over the word Ella, underline the second stage here. Ella meha. Rav Yehuda stated his point of a kanya, of a reed being extended from each window. He got it from Shmuel, who said, Ze moitzi ziz kol shehu umemale, ze moitzi ziz kol shehu umemale. That was Shmuel's teaching that we saw earlier. And you can see we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star you see above, where Shmuel originally said that. And we continue. Taim Odiapik, the reason that each chotzer can use the pit is because they extended something. Holo Apik, if they had not extended anything, Amrinon, notice the second bow tie in contrast with Rav before, this is Shmuel. Amrinon, Odom Oyser al Chavero Derech Avir. That a person or a neighbor could in fact impose a restriction on a fellow neighbor if their point of access or their method of access is Derech Avir. Now, we have a significant structural note to contend with as we continue in the Gemara. You notice a brackets, and this bracket marking is quite long, as the bracket length indicators demonstrates or shows. And on the side, if you notice, there's a starred comment that we call he'ora, a point. We want to point something out. Kitei haGemara shebesograyim ala Mishnah b'Omid Beis. You'll see a couple of sections of Gemara that have these brackets. So we're saying that what we've done bracket-wise is shayachim l'shitas Rav. The content of the brackets is relevant to Rav's opinion. Uvekach nitan l'sayim kodem Diyun haGemara sheshayach l'shitas Shmuel v'achakach lachzor l'drakeiz b'shitas Rav. What these brackets enable us to do is to skip the section, being that the point made just before the brackets was relevant to Shmuel. So if we should want to continue in Shitas Shmuel, having, let us say, gained a Shmuel mindset, namely that Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir, we would skip this bracketed section and continue with Shmuel. So let's do that. So we continue on Omid Beis. You'll notice about 7-8 lines from the top, beginning of the line, Omar Le Rav Popa L'Rava. Rav Popa raises a question. He says, Lema de Shmuel Les Le de Rav Dimi. Shmuel, who holds Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir, As we said, Shmuel requires the extension of a ziz or a kona from each window to use the bor in between the two domains. He doesn't hold from Rav Dimi. What's Rav Dimi's teaching? The also Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yochanan, Mokoim She'ein Bo Dalid Al Dalid, a location that is very narrow. It doesn't have a dimension of 4x4 tfochim, and it has a height of 10 tfochim. Something that is as narrow as that, we call a mokum ptur. And in our sugya, we call this like avir, it's like air. And what does Rav Dimi say? Mutar livnei rishus harabim, ulivnei rishus hayochid lekasef alav. People on a public thoroughfare can rest their packages, their burdens on that, and people that are in the private domain that is next to this mokom shein bo dalet al dalet can also rest their packages on this. Ubevad shelo yachlifu. The only restriction is that they shouldn't use it as a transfer point between the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus HaRabin. So what do we see here? We see Rav Dimi saying that the B'nai Rishus HaYochid and B'nai Rishus HaRabin can both use this protrusion that is less than 4x4 Tvachim, and they don't impose a restriction one on the other. So that would be that would appear to be against Shmuel, that says that two peoples that have common access derech avir to a particular point do impose restriction one on the other. So the Gemara responds, Hossam, what the point of this response is that Shmuel is not at odds with Rav Dimi. Hossam, in the case of Rav Dimi, Rishuyos d'Oraisa, you were dealing with a Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYochid. These are Torah-level domains. And as a result of that, we don't have to impose additional restrictions because people already take that very seriously. Hocha, in the case of Shmuel and the Pit, Rishuyos d'Rabbonan, you were dealing with the issue of carrying from a courtyard to an alleyway, where you're dealing with areas that on a Torah level are all one big Rishus HaYochid. They're, in other words, all considered within, you're not going from one kind of domain to another on a Torah level. So we call these Rishuyos D'Rabbanan. These are considered different types of domains on a purely rabbinic level. V'chachomim asu chizuk l'divrayim yoyser mishal Torah. The rabbis imposed restrictions and protections of their laws more than on Torah level laws. And as we said before, people take Torah level laws seriously anyway, so there's no need to impose additional restrictions, as opposed to rabbinic restrictions, rabbinic laws, people don't take as seriously, so the rabbis impose additional restrictions in those cases. And we should point out then, just by way of repetition, the additional rabbinic restriction that we are talking about here is Shmuel's halacha of extending a ziz or a kanya to matir an area that would have been mutter on a Torah level anyway. As you can see, there's another bracketed section. This once again goes back to Shitas Rav. So let us go now, turn back to Omid Aleph, Pehe Omid Aleph, and we'll learn the bracketed section, focusing now on Shitas Rav. Now, what was Shitas Rav? That Ein Odom Oser Al Chavero Derech Avir. Uderav Mehecha. And the diamond, you can see, is in in contrast to the earlier diamond, which focused on where did Shmuel say his halacha, here we're saying where does Rav say his halacha, that Ein Adam Osra Chaver Derech Avir. And we go through a couple of stages. We've numbered them, number one, and later on, number two. Each presentation takes a few lines to develop. That's why you can see we have long markings as well. Uderav mehecha. I lemo meha. If you're going to think it's from the following. Shteg zusros. Zu lamalo mizu. We're talking here about two balconies that extend from a wall, and one is higher than the other. Osu mechitza l'alyona v'lo osu mechitza l'tachtoina. They made a fence around the upper gezustra and not around the lower one. Shtehen asuros ad shiarvu. They are both prohibited until they make an eruv of joining themselves together. We are referring in the Pirush Chai by way of illustrations to something that we have, of course, learned in the past. Illustration 41. You can see at the bottom of page 173, there are two balconies that are over the water, and we say that they cannot, neither one can draw water from below because the other neighbor imposes a restriction, one on the other, unless they make an eruv. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rav Huna Omar Rav. And we focus, on, of course, on Shitas Rav. Lo yishonu elo besmucho. The ability of one balcony, one neighbor, to impose restrictions on the other is only if they are near one another. Avol bemufleges arbo. If there's a lateral gap of four tvachim, el yoino muteres v'tachtona asura. The upper one can draw on their own and are not restricted by the lower balcony. Now, what are we seeing here? So we're seeing that even though the lower balcony has access to the upper balcony by, say, throwing something up and across, which would we call derech avir, that doesn't impose any restriction. And Rashi emphasizes that when you see the term mufleges, as we saw in the Gemara, that indicates that the use will now be derech avir. So it says here that the elyono muteris. That's why we've dashed underlined that to show that the fact that there is access of the lower one to the upper one, derech avir, doesn't impose any restriction on the upper balcony. The Gemara rejects this. Dilma shiny hocha. Maybe here it's different. Here it's not a function of merely derech avir, but there's a different halachic portrayal that is applicable. The kevon de lozeh bezrika v'shilshul, the lozeh b'shilshul l'chudei, since as far as the lower balcony's access to the upper one, how would we describe it? We describe it through zrika. There has to be a throwing upward motion, and then after that throwing upward motion, then there is a lowering of the pail down into the water through the upper balcony. So those are two forms of movement that, as we've learned in previous sukkis, represent difficulty. There's another term that we've seen, Pesach, which indicates ease. These are forms of movement that represent a certain level of difficulty. So use of the lower balcony's use of the upper balcony would be through an axis that we described as a two-stage axis, Zrika and Shilshul. The Lozeh, as far as the upper balcony's use of their domain, i.e., drawing from the water, v'lozeh b'shilshul l'chudei, their use is by simple lowering. It's one stage access. or form of use. As a result of that, it's kilozeh bezriko velozeh bepesach domi. It could be paralleled in halachic terms, in terms of relative ease and difficulty, to two parties that one has access through zriko, through throwing something upwards, and the other one, velozeh bepesach, means easy access. And in a situation like that, which we have learned in the past, if you recall the case of the two courtyards that were at different levels, and one courtyard had from its side a wall measuring 10 tefachim of height, and the other courtyard, which by virtue of the fact that it was positioned higher, its relationship to the wall was was within 10 tefachim or a straightaway, and as such they are called pesach. And in that case, we assign the use of the wall, we give the use of the wall, the rights to the use of the wall, to the courtyard that is at the same level as the top of the wall. So to over here with our balconies, being that the lower balcony's access to the water through the upper balcony is a more difficult form of access. It involves zriko and shilshul. They are considered out of the picture, leaving only the upper balcony in the run, so to speak, and therefore the use of the pail drawing water from that is not a function. It's no longer viewed as two rishuyos that are contending for the same location. So let's continue in the Gemara. We still don't see a clear illustration of Rav's holding Einon Amos Rachaveru Derech Avir. That we can only see if we have two neighbors that are on equal footing and their access is through the Avir, and then see that Rav says there is no restriction, then we can come to this conclusion. But when you have two neighbors on different footing, like we just illustrated, so we can't conclude that the ruling is based on, the leniency is based on, Ein Odo Moser Al Chavero Derech Avir. So we continue in the Gemara, second stage, Elo Meha Ti Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rav Bar Avua Omer Rav, from the following statement of Rav, and we look at illustration 57. We see here in illustration 57, which you will see is found on page 177 in the Pirush Chai, on the two extremes of the illustration there are houses, and between the houses there are three ruins. Now these three ruins are not owned by any outsiders, but rather they are owned by these homeowners. Let's now take a look in the Gemara. Shnei Batim v'shalosh churbois b'neihem, two homes and three ruins between them. Ze mishtamish b'somach shelo al yedei zrika, v'ze mishtamish b'somach shelo al yedei zrika. Each house on the extremes can use the ruin that is nearest them, that is next to them. V'emtsoi osir. The issue of the emtsoi osir, we'll have to leave that aside for right now, because that will be understood only by an additional or a different model explained later in the Gemara. For right now, we have to focus on the two ruins that are next to the respective houses. There is no doorway, as you can see in the picture. There's a window, though, and each ruin, when we're talking about the two side ruins, there is access to each one of them by both neighbors. So that the fact that, let's say, the person on the right house can use the ruin next to him, even though the neighbor on the left extreme also has access by throwing, he could conceivably throw from his house to that ruin, which is for him far away ruin, that doesn't restrict the owner on the right-hand side from using the ruin next to his house. So it's from this that we want to conclude that Ein Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir. We can see this in the Rashi, where we have a double star, second line from the bottom. We've noted what Rashi says, V'chavero eino usir olav, the other neighbor doesn't impose a restriction on him. V'afal pi shemishtamish b'v'chol b'zriko, even though the two neighbors might use that same ruin, the far away neighbor will use it by throwing things into that ruin. She'zorek derech avir shelo b'pirtzo ad tochur b'zu, he can throw through the openings in the ruin till he gets to that point. Eino osir al chavero derech avir, he does not impose a restriction through the air. She'ein lo alav tashmish ella al yedei avir, his whole access to it is only through the air. Avol besmucho l'chavero lo yishtamesh afilu bezrika. When we talk about, let's say, the house on the left and his allowance to use the ruin on the right, that we will not allow. We will allow, as we're saying, that the house on the right can use the ruin right next to his house. However, the house on the left cannot throw from his house to the ruin on the right. Afilu bezrika. Because, relatively speaking, the person on the right has easier access by simply lowering it through his window into that right-hand ruin. And that is considered an easier form of access than the house on the left throwing all the way through two ruins till it gets to that right-hand ruin. However, what we are focusing on is not that element of restriction, but rather on the allowance that we are giving to each home vis-a-vis the ruins next to them, even though there is access of the other house to that particular room, Derech HaAvir. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Yosef Rav Bruna V'Komar Loha Shmaitza. Rav Bruna said, and he said over this teaching, Omar Le Reb Elozer Bar Bei Rav. Reb Elozer from the Yeshiva of Rav said to Rav Bruna, Omar Rav Hochi, did Rav say this? In other words, did he allow the use of the chotzer right next, the use of the ruin right next to that house? Let's take a look at Rashi as to why Reb Elozer is in wonderment. Omar Rav Hochi Bitmiha. Reb Elozer Sovar. Midoma Rav Imtsoi Oser, Reb Elozer thought that since Rav said that the middle ruin is in fact forbidden, the Aval Pishiesh Hefsik Avir Churbo Beino Vilapotim, even though there's an air gap, the gap between the middle ruin and the houses is a gap through the air. Shma Mino, so Reb Elozer, in focusing on Emtsoi Oser, came to the conclusion, Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir Svir Olei, that Rav holds that one does impose a restriction on his friend, if their only access point is through the air. V'taimo the smuchin mutarin, and the reason that the smuchin, that the near ones are allowed, even though there is also access Derech Avir. Because of what we said before, that there is relative ease of use for the immediately adjacent houses to that particular churba, the ones that are next to the houses, much easier access than the other far house to that very same churba. So, Reb Elozer is wondering, would Rav have really said that the smuchin are mutter? When, if Rav is teaching that the ensoy is osir, it must be that Rav holds Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir. So, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Le Rav Bruna answers Reb Elozer and says, yes,
That is what Rav says. Achvi liushpuze, Rabbi Elazar said, I want you to show me where Rav is staying. Liushpuze means his inn. Where is he staying? I want to go speak to him. Achvi le, Rabbi Bruna pointed out where Rav was staying. Also the Kame de Rav, Rabbi Elazar approaches Rav, and Rabbi Elazar asks, Omar le Omar Mor Hochi. Rabbi Elazar asks, did the master say thusly? Did you in fact say this? Omar le in. Yes, I say this. So Rabbi Elazar asks, do you really say that? He says, Omar Lev, Omar, who do Omar? But you, Rav, have taught Lozeh b'shilshul, for Lozeh b'zrika, Shnehem asurin, that even though you have one person having easier access than the other, one is b'shilshul, that's by simply lowering something out his window, and the other one, we have a case, this case, by the way, we learned in the past where you had two courtyards on different levels, and there was a ditch between them, or let's say a mound between these two courtyards, and the upper courtyard would have access to the top of the mound by simply lowering from its high position to the top of the mound, which was lower, and the lower courtyard would have access to the top of the mound by throwing upwards to it. This is again a case we've seen earlier, and it's described as Lozeh b'shilshul v'lozeh b'zrika, and Rav's opinion was Shnehem Asurin, both cannot use that particular mound positioned between the two chatseros, even though one is easier than the other. The use of shilshul is considered easier than the use of zrika. So too in our case with the three ruins set up as they are in illustration 57, why would Rav allow the each house to use the ruin that is smuchalo when the other neighbor has access to it derech zrika? And Rabbi Elazar once again is focused on the emtsoi osir that Rav says, base feeling that that shows Rav holds odom oisir al chavero derech avir. So Rabbi Elazar, after all said and done, is having difficulty understanding, in light of the fact that Emtsoi Osir shows Odom Osir Achavero Derech Avir, and in light of Rav's teaching Lozeh b'shilshul v'lozeh b'zrika Shneim Asurim, why are the adjacent Hurbos Mutter to the respective houses? Omar Lei, Rav responds, Mi Savris Dekaimi K'shura, who says that the three courtyards are set up in a row? Lo, they're not set up in a row. Rather, the kaimi kechatsuva. Chatsuva is, for our purposes, a tripod. You can see in the Rashi text, in the Gemara text itself, a diagram, and in the Pirush Chai it would be diagram 59. In the Gemara diagram, that's an aerial view. So the what's called the middle horba is that horba in the Gemara picture, it's on the left-hand side of the illustration. It's that horba that has access, equal access to the two houses that are on either side. And the other two horbas are the smaller ones that you can see in the illustration. As a result of the middle horba having immediate access to the two houses, that is what imposes the restriction on Emtsoi Osir. In other words, Emtsoi Osir is not a function of Shimush Derech Avir, as we saw in illustration 57, but rather it's a Shimush Derech Shilshul that each house has equal to it, the neighbor house in that very same domain. So we look at the Rashi, who expels all of this out. Lo, Rashi says, Avidi kechatzuvu, shloshtun smuchin lebotim. The all three chorbas have a border on a house, not like in 57, where the middle ruin had no border on with the house. And Rashi goes on, Hoemtsoi Keneged Hashtayim, the middle, the term middle one is built alongside the two Chorbos, Kishlosha Ragleg Kankan, like three legs of a tripod supporting a pitcher, Hilkoch Hasmuchin Mutaren, the smaller chorbas that are adjacent to the houses are allowed to each house in its respective chorba. The Ein Oda Moisra Chaveru Derech Avir, because there's one house, the chorba nearest each house vis-a-vis the other house, the other house's access to that chorba would be Derech Avir. And Ein Oda Moisra Chaveru Derech Avir. V'emtsoi Osir, why? The Shnehem Mishtam Shinba B'Shilshul. The middle, what's described as the middle chorba, is used by both houses during the weekdays through the same method of use, namely shilshul, lowering out their windows into that chorba emtsoi, rushus shneihem hi, and it's therefore considered the domain of both. And when you have a domain that's used by multiple individuals, that's what imposes restrictions. The afagav the shtaim asmuchos prutzos lemtsoi oiser lo achmu rabbanon b'mokam shein lo tashmish gomor. Even though, as you can see in the picture, the smuchos also open up into that middle, into that emtsoi one, that does not impose a restriction because it's not tashmish gomor. It's not easy use. She oser mishum poros, that the fact there's a breach that should impose restriction. We turn back to the Gemara. The section following that which we just learned, we've already learned that earlier. That was the section is relevant to Shmuel, and we skip down a few more lines to the next bracketed section. Omale Ravina Larova. Again, here we've most recently discussed Rav's halacha, so we continue in the Rav mindset. Rav holding Ein Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir. So Ravino says to Rav, Mi Omar Rav Hochi. Does Rav really say that Ein Odom Oyser Al Chavero Derech Avir? For Itmar. And again, note that the question lasts a few lines. So we raise a question from a case of two houses on either side of a Rishus Harabim, on other side of a common of other side of a public thoroughfare. You can see an illustration of this on the top of page 178. So you have two houses on either side of a Rishus Harabim, Voit Mar Shnei Botim, that belong to one person. It's one owner of the two houses. Mishnei Tzidei Rishus Rabim. Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Osir Lizrok Mizeh Lozeh. Ushmuel Omar Mutur Lizrok Mizeh Lozeh. But we have to focus on Rav. And that's why we dashed underline. Rav says Osir. It's Osir to throw from one house to the other. And the Havamina is because the Bnei Rishus Rabim, they have access Derech Avir. In other words, they don't, even though they don't have real use of the houses, they're private houses, but nevertheless, the Bnei Rishus Rabim are found there below, between the two houses, and it is they, the Bnei Rishus Rabim, the members of the public that use the street below, that are imposing a restriction on this homeowner from throwing from one house to the other. So what do we see? We see that the Bnei Rishus Rabim are asering on this homeowner Derech Avir. Omar Lei. So Rava responds, Lav Mi Ukimna, have we not established already? The Madlichad Umitzichad. It's not two houses that are or it's like you see in the illustration, the two windows that are at the same height, right across one from the other, but rather the madli is higher up and mitzi lower down. One window is higher and the other window is lower. and we don't want him throwing from the lower window to the upper window. Zimnin de Megander Venofil, he might not have such a perfect aim, and he might not be successful in throwing it in an upwards diagonal in a successful way to get into the house, and it'll roll down from wherever it hits, and he'll then come to Venofil Lisuye, he'll come to carry. He'll end up carrying the item from the Rishus HaRabim into the house.
The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at illustration 61. We will be looking at 61 and illustration 62. And in the Pirush Chai, there are references to some of the other illustrations that are necessary for the Mishnah. However, we are not going to focus on the specific illustrations, but rather the principle that the Mishnah teaches. The issue here will be location, where an Eruv is to be placed. In the course of our sukkah, we'll be mentioning an Eruv Chatzeros and a Shituf Muvois. The Mishnah. Hanoisin es Eruvo. People of a chotzer that placed the different members of the chotzer that collected their food and placed the food bebeis shar, that's what you see in illustration 61, literally a gatehouse, or nachsadra, that's a type of porch that you see in illustration 62, umirpesis, a balcony, eino eruv, it's not acceptable, so the Eruv won't be effective. V'hador sham eino oser olav. Someone who lives in one of these structures is not someone that will impose any restriction on the other neighbors. In other words, if all the other neighbors living in regular houses contributed to the Eruv and this person did not, so he doesn't impose any restriction. The rule being that an Eruv Chatzeros is placed in a dira, and that which is fit to serve as a domicile, a dwelling, and only those people are expected to contribute to the Eruv. Now, we have more types of structures in contrast to the beginning of the Mishnah. Here we have other locations that are considered halachically dwellings. Base hateven, a straw storehouse, ubeis haboker, where animals are kept, ubeis haetzim, a wood storage facility, ubeis haotzaros, other types of storage rooms, hare ze eruv. Placing the Eruv Chatzeros in one of these would be an Eruv, would be acceptable. Vahador Shom Oser Olav. Someone who lives in one of these that we listed just Aleph through Dalet in our markings, he would be expected to contribute to the Eruv, and if he doesn't, so he imposes his absence, his non-contribution would impose a restriction on the rest of the neighbors living in the courtyard. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh shom tfisas yad shel baal habayis, eino oser. If the owner of all of these structures, let us say you have one person that owns all of the these other structures with dwellers living in them, but he, the owner, has a certain level of use, as the Gemara will explain later, where he has an arrangement where he keeps his vessels in these houses, then they do not impose any iser. It's considered, because the one person owns all of these domains and he has use of all of these domains, even as we said there are tenants in them, but since he has use of all of them, which we call here tfisas yad, it's not considered multiple ownerships. It's already unified, and therefore there's no need for them to contribute to the Eruv. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice some markings and a topic heading that accompanies this is found on the side, the Nosei Mivneh. You can see a diamond, which highlights the expression Kol Mokoim She'omru Chachomim, wherever the Chachomim said, and then you'll see certain rules that were said, and the Gemara will elaborate, and the double underline highlights the rules that were said. What we'll be learning here are klolim, rules, b'mokim hanocha shel erev chatzeres and shitufei mevuz, rules regarding the location of the food collection to establish an erev chatzeres and to establish a courtyard joining in an alleyway that we call shituf mevuz. The Gemara, and the Gemara has a long point at the beginning, Omar Rav Yehuda Breda Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Kol mokom shomer chachomim. Wherever the chachomim said hador sham eino oser, we saw this in our Mishnah under just before the end of the first section of the Mishnah, where you have a type of facility or a structure where one who dwells in it does not impose a restriction on the neighbors. Hanosin es eruvo eino eruv. If you place your eruv, the collected food, in that kind of location, so it's not an eruv. You place it, you're expected to place the eruv only in a dira, in a dwelling, and these are not dwellings. There is an exception, chutz mi beis shar diyochid, with the exception of a gatehouse opening into a singular domain. Rashi says, "Chutz mi beis shar diyochid, de chotzer shel yochid, a courtyard where there is only a single individual. Umasnisin be beis shar, de chotzer de rabbe maskino. The beis shar featured in our Mishnah was a beis shar leading to a courtyard there that the multitudes lived in. Multiple dwellings were in that courtyard. Let's continue then in the Gemara." V'chol mokoyim shomer chachomim ein manichin bo eruv, and wherever the chachomim said, don't place an eruv in that kind of location because it's not a dira, well, manichin bo shituf, you could place a shituf muvos. And the point being that a shituf muvos does not require as its location that which we would call a dira. All that it requires is that it's a place that's not open. It's a called mokam hamishtamer, something that could be guarded, or it's considered guarded within that area. So, as far as this second rule, this is addressing where do you place a sheet of mufos. So we said, as long as it's a mokam hamishtamer, even if it's not a, and it should not be, let us say it's a place, should not be a dira. Chutz me avir mavui. In other words, the airspace of the alleyway is not a place to put a sheet of mavos. The Gemara asks, "My komash molon, what is Rav Yehuda Breda of Shmuel Bar Shilas telling me?" Tanina, we've learned this already in the Mishnah. By focusing on the Mishnah's examples, you could come to this same conclusion. It's said in the Mishnah, "Noisin es eruvu bebeishar achsadra umirpeses." Eino Eruv. If one places his Eruv Chatzeros in one of these, it's not considered acceptable for an Eruv Chatzeros, because these are not a Mokom Dira. And we infer Eruv Hu de Lo Have, it's not a good Eruv Chatzeros, Ha Shituf Have, but it is a good method of establishing, or say, reasonable location for placing the Shituf Luvos, because it's a Mokom Hamishtamer. So the question very simply is, what does Rav Yehuda Breda Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas tell me that I couldn't have figured out by learning the Mishnah and its inference? The Gemara answers, Beis Shar Diyochid, that point, the Beis Shar leading into a single inhabited courtyard as a good place for an Eruv Chatzeros, the Avir Demovui, that you should not place a sheet of Uvos in there, it's the Richole de Lo Snan. These two points of the Beishar of the Yochid and the Avir Mofui are not in the Mishnah, and that's what Rav Yehuda Breda Shmuel Bar Shilas added for us. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that tells us that a Shituf can be placed in a Chotzer. Now, it's important to note that this Tanya Naomi, in effect, is a long point. It takes four lines to develop, so bear with the Gemara. We have a Tanaic source that will not be clear as initially, and that's why we have all these lines to clarify things. The Tanaic source says, And again, we're bringing support to that which we taught, that you can place a sheet of mufos in a chotzer that's in a that's off an alleyway. Hanosein es eruvo bebeis shar achsadru mepesis ubechotzer ubemovui hare ze eruv. And we're using the triangles to highlight points to make the reading easier. So we have a list of things. Amongst them, it says placing an eruv in a mavui is a good eruv. V'ha'tanan ein ze eruv. But we have learned that that would not be a good eruv. Emo, so rather say hare ze shituf, that placing the eruv in the mavui would be a good shituf. The Gemara says that's not true. Shituf b'movui lo nimintar. The shituf muvos in an alleyway is not guarded. It's not a mokom hamishtamir. Emo, so rather say bechotzer she b'movui. So what this source is really teaching us is that you can place the eruv, you can place the shituf muvos in a chotzer that's off of the alleyway. So it's not, as you can see, it's not very clear in the words, but after all said and done, what this source is telling us is you can place a sheet of mufos in a chotzer, which is what we were taught before through Rav Yehuda, Reiter of Shmuel Bar Shilas. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bnei Chabura Shem Mesubin, V'kidesh Aleim Hayom. You have a group of people that were eating a meal on Friday, and the meal extended into the late hours and Shabbos. It overflowed into Shabbos. Pas shal ashuchan soim chenalein mishum eruv v'amri lo mishum shituf. The bread that's on their table can serve as their eruv chatzeres, and another version is it can serve as their shituf muvois. Again, let's just assume that when the Gemara refers to the Bnei Chabur, we're talking about all the people, the neighbors that were living in that courtyard or living along that alleyway had made this meal on Friday. So we have two versions, and Omar Rabba v'lo pligi, Rabba says that these two versions, either Mishum Eruv or Mishum Shituf, are not at odds with one another. Kan b'mesubin b'bayis, the Aleph halacha, that it's a good Eruv, is where they were eating in a house. So an Eruv chatzeros needs to be placed in a dwelling. So the food on the table in the house in which they were eating serves as a good Eruv chatzeros. Kan b'mesubin b'chotzer. If they were having festive meal, or this large meal in a courtyard, so the bread on the table can serve as the shituf muvos, because, as we said before, a courtyard is a legitimate place for placing a shituf muvos. Omalei abaye l'rabo, tanyo demesaye aloch. Again, a long point. Take note of that it lasts four lines. So Abaye says to Rabo, there's a source that supports what you taught. Eruve chatzeros b'chotzer v'shitufe muvos b'movui. That's a source that is not clear. Vavinonbon, we ask, Eruve chatzeros b'chotzer, is that so, that an Eruv chatzeros is placed in a courtyard? V'hotnan hanosines eruvo b'beis shar achsadra umirpesis eino eruv. Placing your Eruv chatzeros in one of these locations is not a good Eruv, because it's not a mokom dira, it's not a domicile. And the same is true with regard to a courtyard. People don't live in a courtyard, they live off the courtyard. So how do we make sense of the source? Emo. So rather say, Eruve chatzeros, bebayis shebechotzer, the place of location, the location for placing an Eruv chatzeros is in a house off the courtyard, and shitufe mevuos bechotzer shebemovui, and the shituf mevui that joins the different courtyards together off a common alleyway is to be placed in a courtyard off the alleyway. That is what Rabba taught, and that's what this Tanaic source is teaching. Rabbi Huda Omer, im yeshom tfisas yad v'chule, hechi domi tfisas yad. And we have a marking that draws our attention to the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei mivne heading. The house are dugmois shel tfisas yad shel balabayis. Different examples of this concept of tfisas yad, literally held by his hand. that the owner, there's one owner that owns all of the different structures in this courtyard, even though there are tenants in all of the structures. But we said, if Rav Yudah says, if the owner has a tfisas yad, so there's no need for an eruv. So what is a tfisas yad? So we have a couple of examples of that. We will notice a bracketed section, and after the brackets, the Gemara will continue with the issue of tfisas yad. Now, the Gemara. I could also point out that in the brackets, there will be a discussion about the need for honoring the wealthy. Hefi domi tfisas yad. So number one, kagon chatsero shel ben bunyas. Rashi at the bottom of the page, ben bunyas, oshir hu, he was a wealthy man, umashil botim shebechotzer lachirim, he would loan the use of houses to others in the courtyard. The hoyu lo kelim bekulam, he had vessels in each one of these houses, shemitoch osher hoyu lo kelim harbi, because of his wealth, he had a lot of vessels. So once you know what the nature of the chotzer of ben bunyas was, you understand what tfisas yad is, and it's this situation where the owner stores his vessels in each one of the houses that others are currently dwelling in. As we said, after the brackets, there'll be another reference to the issue of what constitutes a tfisas yad. Now, let's just go through the bracketed section of the Gemara. Also, the Kamei the Rebbe. Ben Bunyas, apparently, he came to Rebbe. Omar Lahu. Panu mokum leben me'amona. He said, make room for this man who is worth me'amona, so a large amount of money. Rashi says, klomar mokum chashuv, give him an important place to sit. Osin ishachrina, another man came along. Omar lehu, Rebbe said, panu mokum leben mosai mona, make room for this man who is worth 200 mona. This, and what Rashi says is, this man is even more Choshuv, give him even a more honorable location. Omar Lefonov Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi, so Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi, Oviv Shalzeh, the father of this one, namely the father of Bunyas, or Ben Bunyas is the son of Bunyas, so it could be Oviv Shalzeh as a reference to Bunyas. Yeshlo elef svinos b'yam. He has 1,000 ships at sea. Uchenegdan elef ayoros b'yabosha. He has 1,000 cities on land. He's a very, very wealthy man. Omar lo. So Rebbe said, l'chshtagia etzel oviv, when you get to his father, and more lo, tell him, al tishagrehu b'kelim halolu lefonai. Don't send him wearing these clothing to me. So that it would seem from the story that Rebbe is telling Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, when you get to the father of Ben Bunyas, tell him that next time he sends his son to me, he should be wearing nicer clothing. Because right now he's not wearing clothing that fit his rank, so to speak. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe bestowed honor to the wealthy. Rebbe Akiva Mechabed Ashirim, and Rebbe Akiva also. There's a note in the Rabbeinu in the Rabbi Kiva Eger that's really worth looking at. He is in the Gilyan Hashas. You find on the standard our standard Daf Gemara, the bottom left hand side, the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Mechaved Ashirim. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes Bilakute Maril Sheshama Mimaram Segel Diyesh Lefaresh Mitoich Sherebi Atzmohoya Oshir Muflog. Rebbe himself, the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zorah, describes as being a phenomenally wealthy individual. Lakach Hugil Atzmo Lechabed Ashirim. He accepted on himself the practice of honoring other people that were wealthy. Kedei Lehislame Lehom, so as to teach the public Shechabdoi Gamkein Oso Bishvil Oshro, that they should show their honor to Rebbe himself because of his wealth, the lo bishvil toiroso,
and not show honor to Rebbe because he was a phenomenal Torah sage as well. Rebbe was cognizant of that which the Gemara teaches in Maseches Yuma, that a person, and also I believe in Maseches Nedarim, that a person, let's emphasize more the Gemara now in Nedarim, where a person should hesitate to benefit from the crown of Torah. In other words, that if a person receives honor because of the Torah that he studied, so that is what the Gemara there in Nedarim says one should avoid. Let's turn back to the Gemara. This idea of honoring the wealthy, kidedorash rova bar mori, based on the following pasuk: Yeshev oimam lifnei lekim chesed ve'emes man yinseruhu. Emosa yeshev oimam lifnei lekim. When is the world established in front of the Almighty? Bisman shechesed ve'emes mon yinseruhu. When mon is a reference, as Rashi says, to mezonos. It means when acts of good kindness, of chesed and emes, are done for the public. And who would do that? The wealthy would do that. Rashi says, "Bezman sheish bo ashirim shegoyim lim chesed umezamnin mezonos laniim v'heim yinseru." Because of their actions, they guard the world, and because of this, the wealthy are deserving of respect. The wealthy have in their power to guard the world through their acts of loving kindness. Rabo Bar Chana Omar. Now, as we mentioned before, this is another angle, another approach to the issue of Tfisas Yad. Kegoin Yosed Shel Machresh. When we speak about the owner having vessels in houses, it would have to be something that is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. An example of this is the Yosef Shamach Resha. This is a peg that was part of a plow. And this is something that was elsewhere. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos refers to this as a Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. A person wouldn't use this for anything else on Shabbos. Omar Rav Nachmon, Tona Debei Shmuel. We have the following source, 2 points. Aleph, Dovor Hanita B'Shabbos Oser. If all that the Balabayas has in those houses is something that he could remove on Shabbos, that he could carry on Shabbos, so the fact that the owner still has this holding in it, that he stores these kind of vessels there, is of no relevance. It doesn't change the halacha, and that the tenant has to contribute to the Eruv. And if not, he will aser. He will impose a restriction. Because as far as the Balabayas' presence in that house through his vessels, he could remove it on Shabbos. And since it could be removed, or since it could be carried out on Shabbos, so it's as if the Balabayas is not there. However, Dover Sheino Nital B'Shabbos Eino Oser. If it's an item that is Muktzeh, something that you cannot move on Shabbos, so the Balabayas is considered to be present in that house, and there's no fear of that being altered. Tanyo Nami Hochi, we have a Braiso that teaches this as well. Yesh Lo Tevel, Yesh Lo Ashoshis. If the owner has in these structures that are in the courtyard, he has untithed fruits, or he has ashoshes, Rashi says, shel barzel, these are large pieces of iron. V'chol dover sheino nital b'Shabbos, or anything else that cannot be moved on Shabbos, eino oser. So the tenant that's in there, and his lack of contributing to the Eruv, does not impose any restriction, because it's considered as if the Balabayas owns that house, and not only that, but the Balabayas is said to be present there, and hence all of the structures that are in the chotzer that have Dover Shein and Nital B'Shabbos that are owned by the Balabayas in these houses is considered a unified unified courtyard anyway, even without the need for an Eruv, even without establishing an Eruv. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.